So as I was reflecting for this week and I was trying to figure out what thread to pull on from the gospel, and I love the Ephesians passage and then, of course, Acts. And then all the things that went on this week and the conversations I had when I was in with my aunts and cousins in Idaho, that the thought that came back to me is there's just a lot of grief in this world. And not only, you know, within this last week, but it seems like, you know, we could say probably the beginning of COVID, and there's not been really any let up where we're just like, ta-da, it's all gone. We're, you know, we can rejoice again. It's all normal. And then it's like, and the next thing happens. But it kind of, for me at least, it's compounding. It adds on until there's a point where I'm going, okay, for some reason I'm a little bit more angry or a little bit more sad. And as my husband says, you just need to stop and just figure out what's going on, which makes me growl at him and go, rawr, just knock it off. I don't need to be chaplained. When I'm going, okay, yes, fine, now you need to be chaplained. But I was just thinking of that, of how, as a nation, as how probably historical our roots, that we're more stoic about things. Or we just, I mean, one of the things I remember at one of my great aunt's funeral, as I was crying and grieving the loss of her, one of my aunts said that I needed to be done crying as soon as we walked out that building. And I was like, wow, that's kind of just short. You know, what about every other day when I encounter memories or, you know, encounter things that remind me of her or of any loved one that triggers that memory? And it wasn't until I went into chaplaincy and the training I took that it was like, no, you have to process those emotions and those things that we encounter. Or we just add on to that until finally something just breaks us. Where we get burned out, or we notice that we have a shorter fuse than normal. And the other funny thing that happened this week is my father-in-law has been gone from us for 13 years, 12 years now. But it was funny, I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she said they discovered, as we were adding sugar to my coffee, I heard this comment. They're like, oh, did you finally figure out, did you get rid of all the salt that was in your sugar dish? I'm like, salt in your sugar dish? What? And we discovered that my father-in-law, on one of the last visits to her, had switched out her sugar cup with salt. It took them 2 years to realize that he had done this practical joke. So it just reminded me, you know, it made us laugh, but we were also kind of tearful of the remembering of all that he had done, the jokes that he liked to play on us kids. And when I was going through these conversations and these understandings, I was trying to figure out how we make sense of those things, of what is happening, what has happened, and either we figure out a reason for it or we just kind of move on to the next thing. And today I felt like we shouldn't rush straight into the resolution or the joy that we know is promised to us. That we should sit with the grief, not only that the disciples experienced those 40 days before Christ's ascension, in that mix that they had, the grief, the joy, the grief, you know, kind of that up and down. And what it means as Christ is being with them, kind of a non-anxious presence to them. Just kind of going, remember, this is what I've talked about. This is what has happened, what will happen. And this is what's, as I leave you, this is what's going to go on. And we're given two parts of Luke's writings. We get the gospel story that Christ is talking to them once more with those that are gathered in the 11. And he's kind of just reminding them, This is, you know, everything that was written about me, the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, has to be fulfilled, and it has been fulfilled. And it also mentions, he said, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead, and that the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. But he also talks about the Holy Spirit that dwells within them, that will come upon them to help them. And then he ends them with a blessing to them. But in Acts, once again, Luke is writing to Theopolis. I'll try to get it right. Just say it boldly. But it talks about, once again, that reminding the people that are hearing this story for either the first time or as they're reading it, that after suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs. And it wasn't until I was reading this again that it was like, it wasn't just 7 days where he came, taught really quickly, and left. But it was a 40-day duration in which he walked with them, he journeyed with them, he popped up surprisingly behind doors, on the road, in a fishing boat, kind of startling them to remembering that I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm only here for a time until it's time to go again. And that Holy Spirit, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, be witnesses, until he sends up to heaven. But it reminds them what must take place and how to continue on after he leaves them once more. And kind of it's building that, not only building a foundation, but he's equipping them. He's building the church and equipping them to continuing onward to build that church, to find the people that will listen and hear of what's going on, and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So then how do we take what is written to the disciples and apply it to us? And I find myself kind of at a juxtaposition of things that have been taken from us and those things that have been given to us. I was telling the kids that sorrow that we experience and that happiness we experience. And sometimes it could be laughing while we're crying. It's just one of those things I find myself doing at times. And also, because I don't have the answers, I don't know. I figure things out what might work for me. The questions I had is, how do we continue to do the works that we've been given when we don't take the time to grieve the brokenness, the loss of normal, of life that we've experienced, of relationships, and just have a time to just sit in that and figure out what's going on in our lives and how we move forward from that? Because we have experienced so many things, not only personally, but as a nation in the last 2 years. And in our relationships with one another, the dynamics that change as we grow and as we experience life in whatever aspect that we experience it. And the thing I came up with, some ideas for myself I came up with, is I think that it's important to share our stories of life events that inform who we are and how we understand God to be amongst us. And to understand that we will also experience anger and fear as we process. And we may even look for humor to help us get to the next stage. Most importantly, it's to recognize that Christ walks with us in these things. That he cries with us as we cry. He rages with us when we see those injustices happening, or even in our own life, those things that just build up that anger. And that he loves each of us, each and every moment of our lives. And it is Christ who gives us strength. It's the Trinity that builds us, the Spirit that lives within us, God that watches over us, even at our weakest points. And it's okay to be sad, however long we need to be. Something to think about. Amen.